This is the AV15, a production of the Atlantic Voice podcast. If you've got a quarter of an hour for us, then we've got 15 minutes for you. So grab your skinny, venti, double-whipped mocha, your cup of tea with milk and two sugars, or something with bubbles if that's your fancy, and spend the next 15 minutes with us here at the Atlantic Voice.
This is the AV15. I'm Zeph. Our special guest this week is Alexis. Alexis is an amateur cyclist. Alexis, welcome to the AV15.
Hello.
Now, you're an amateur cyclist. Explain to me a little bit what level you are and kind of how that all works.
Well, for categories, I'm a Cat 1. And women start at Category 4, men start at Category 5. And you move up those 4, 3, 2, 1. And you move up based upon your results in races and depends on how many people are in the race and how long the races are. So for women, to move up from a 4 to 3, usually you have to race at least 10 races. You know, each race has to be at least 30 miles or 45 minutes for the criterions. And they have to have at least, you know, 20 people, and then you can't race, you know, 3 people.
So you are
Go ahead.
So you are the top category.
Correct. Yeah.
So, would the next thing be to become a professional, or is that something on your horizon? Or are you happy just being? Because you are an amateur, correct?
Yeah, I'm not paid, so yeah, I'm still an amateur. The next step would be to be on a team that gives you a salary. I mean, for women's teams, it's not a whole lot, but.
Now, how long have you been a cyclist? How long have you been a racer? I think I need to be clear for our audience. Alexis isn't a cyclist. She is a racing. She's a racer, I guess is the best way to put it. How long have you been competing?
I started my senior year at Georgetown. I did 2 races that year. I really had no idea what I was doing. That's when I decided to join team just to figure out how to race and do all that stuff. So my first full season was 2 years. I've done 2 full seasons of racing, pretty much.
So in 2 seasons, you've jumped up through 5 categories. I mean, I guess that's impressive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need, don't be bashful. That's impressive, right?
Yeah, I mean, it took a lot of racing, but yeah.
So, what do you race on a team now? Are you a member of a club now?
Yeah, I'm on a National Capital Velo Club, NCVC. So, I might be on a different team next year.
So now, when you race, and I think the biggest misconception for people that don't follow cycling, and obviously anyone who's heard any of the podcasts will know, I enjoy cycling as a sport in terms of the professional level. But for some of our listeners who maybe don't follow cycling, when you race, I mean, even at your level, is it an individual sport or is it a team sport?
You know, it can be either or. It's a lot easier if you have a team. I mean, you can do well as an individual, but if you have a team with you, you know, you can have a lot more strategy there and, you know, race against other teams. If you're, you know, if there's 3 people against you, the chances of them doing well is much higher than you. I mean, it's pretty hard to race 3 against 1. If you have a team, you know, you can put people in a break. You know, some people can sit back and rest, wait for the sprint. You know, there's a lot more things you can do with at least 1 other person there.
Do you enjoy that part of it? The notion that it's obviously it is very much an individual endeavor physically. But do you enjoy the fact that, yes, there are tactics and I've got teammates? Do you find that appeals to you as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely cool. It's not very fun if you're on the, you know, 3 versus 1, if you're on the single person part of it. But if you have, you know, at least 1 other person, it's pretty cool. You can, you know, use other people's strengths. If somebody's good at sprinting, you know, you can have them wait for the sprint. Somebody's good at, you know, hills, you can have them go on a hilly course and try to get in a break or something like that. So it's pretty cool. I mean, it, you know, if you're not the one working at that one point, your only job is to rest. So, yeah. Your job is to do it the least amount of work as possible to save your energy to go again. So
talk to me a bit now about your own athletic background. Now, I've known you for many years, and you were obviously an outstanding rower, and you rowed collegiately. At what moment did you decide I'm going to be dumping the water and being out on the tarmac? What you said earlier, yeah, you know, I just kind of figured I'd give this a go. What was it that made you think, I should ride a bike?
Rowing, I liked it. I had trouble maintaining lightweight and just doing that. And, once I wasn't able to row lightweight, my heart wasn't completely in it. I was going to practice, but, I think that you can only do well for like that if you really like it. So I remember it was the Snowmageddon, and I went home for that. And, they still had practice, and that was when I decided, I'm not going to do this anymore. So that was the end of rowing. After that, I wasn't really upset about not rowing anymore. And, I had a 3-hour every afternoon, which I was going to row, so I got a bike and did that.
So at what moment did you decide I'm going to join a club and join a team, rather than just, riding around like 90% of the population for recreation? At what moment did you think, I want to compete doing this?
I started riding on the trails. I would compete against, I'm pretty competitive, so I, race commuters and, do all that. And then I remember that they hadn't plowed it for the snow, so I, eventually moved to the road. And there are always groups there on Saturday and Sunday, so I'd, wait at the bottom of a hill for a group to come by, race to the top, go back down, do it again over and over again. And then, there was a race nearby in Boyd, Maryland, so like 5 minutes away. Signed up for that, had no idea what I was doing. You're supposed to stay on one side of the L line. So I think I had never ridden close to anybody before, so I was, completely in the wind, just trying to stay upright. I'm like, I don't care if I get sent back to the back. I'm not, getting that close to people. And I finished sixth for a cat fours. I don't remember. They put all of us together. So, I got yelled at plenty of times for doing things wrong. I think after that, I was like, all right, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I kind of like this. So I talked to somebody. He's like, oh, well, MTBC is nearby you, so, try them. And, that was it. I think maybe that afternoon I contacted them. And, it's pretty – anybody can join the club. You just need to be able to get along with people. And
Is it fair to say – obviously, you dove in first as an individual and then you immediately signed up with a club. Is it fair to say you were just sort of hooked at that moment? Like, was it a thing where you felt like, yeah, I found it, this is what I want to do? Or was there still some sort of, you talked a little bit about, sort of breaking some of the sort of the etiquette of the sport and riding close to people. Was there still a period where you felt, I'm not sure if this is my thing? Or did you immediately decide, nope, I'm into this, I'm going to get better, I'm going to learn?
I always, wanted to get better. I thought that, something I really did like. There are times where I'm like, I don't, it's kind of dangerous and I'm not a huge risk taker on the bike. I've been in races where people have been willing to take more risks than me and, they end up doing a little bit better, but, sometimes like those, I'm like, I'm not quite sure this is, because rowing, not really much can go on. You're out there, I guess the most that can happen is you fall off the boat, but there are people all around you to get back up. I like everything about it except for that risk part, which, I know it's part of the sport and you've got to know that it's there and lots of people like it, but except that, I really do enjoy the sport.
Now, I remember I saw on Facebook earlier this year that I think you'd broken your collarbone. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right.
You said that, some riders, they're hell for leather. They're flying around. But you yourself, you are sort of wary of the risks. What was it? Did you ever, the day you broke your collarbone, did you ever sort of suddenly think, this is the reason why I don't want to do this? Or was it like, no, I get that this is part of the sport that I've chosen?
I get that it's part of the sport. I've crashed before. It comes to a point where you're racing, I think, 120 people in that race. And you have to realize that if someone in front of you goes down, there's really nothing you can do. I mean, you know, people say, oh, keep your hands on the brakes. You know, I think we're going maybe 28 miles an hour. If someone falls in front of you, you're not going to be able to stop in time. So that was, everyone crashes. It's pretty much a matter of time. I think I've crashed one other time in a race, and that was my fault. I crashed on a ride before. That was my fault. So, I mean, you know, after the race in Philly, I remember being in the elevator with Evelyn Stevens, who she won that race, and she just placed fifth, I think, at Worlds.
And she's famous. She's like, she is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So she was in the field with you. So you really are racing against the biggest names in the sport.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool to see, you know, all those people out there, world champions. It's a cool experience. But I remember she had crashed earlier that year, and she's like, yeah, it's part of the sport, you know. She had broken her, you know, pretty, I think pretty much her collarbone's so easy to break, so everyone has broken that before.
Is it?
You just have to get back up and.
You just get back on the bike. I guess that's the expression.
Not during that race. You know, it didn't hurt really much. I just couldn't lift my arm up, and, you know, for me, the race was over. One of the paramedics came up and was like, no, you broke your collarbone. You're like, no, all right.
I want to share for our listeners who might not know who Evie Stevens is. Evie Stevens is, she was just in the world championship race. She is arguably the United States top female cyclist. And obviously you're in races where she's in the field. For you, is there a notion that are you starstruck a little bit, or once everyone's riding, you're like, no, this is it, we're all on the bike? Or is there a moment where you go, ooh, there's Evie Stevens, ooh, there's such and such who rides for Specialized Lululemon or whoever? Is it psychologically for you, as someone quite new to the sport, and I mean that compared to these other guys, was there sort of a moment there when you had to pinch yourself?
It's pretty cool, but they're not treated like, you know, royalty or anything. I mean, women's cycling is, you know, still kind of, it's not like huge. They're pretty normal. They don't expect any special treatment. I mean, it is cool seeing them, and, you know, she's been in commercials and everything. I raced Allison Tetrick, who's a national level, especially time trialist. I raced her in February in Arizona, and I think she was probably one of the first pros I raced. That was pretty cool, you know. In the beginning, it's a little bit starstruck, but you race them over and over again. And
it soon becomes sort of second nature to see folks like that. Talk to me a little bit about your training regimen. Is it something, obviously you're on a team right now, do you train in a group or do you train on your own, or share with our listeners a little bit sort of what's a typical week of training leading up to a race? What sort of things do you go out and do on the bike? What kind of distances are you riding?
The thing I like about cycling is you can do it on your own or, you know, with a team. Rowing was just pretty much on with the team. I mean, you don't really have an option. So during the season, you, Saturday and Sunday, you do the races, sometimes both days, sometimes just Saturday. Monday, usually we'll take off. Tuesday, there was a, Fresh Bikes. If you live in Arlington, you would see the Fresh Bikes ride. You know, they close off. They have a police escort, so, you know, a bunch of the streets are closed, and, I mean, that's a cool ride just because a lot of the fast guys in the area do it. It's a hill ride. It should be, like, probably an hour or so. So that will give you a couple of, like, 3-minute efforts. If you do that, then, you know, Wednesday you might take a little bit easier. Thursday at Haynes Point down in D.C. It's a 5K loop, and a bunch of people will get there in the afternoon to do sprints. I think I've learned more from that ride than any other race or ride I've done, just because, you know, you're with guys and you make one mistake and you're, you know, you move out of the slipstream just a little bit and you're off the back and you can't really get back on. So that, you know, will help with sprints. And then Friday, take it easy, Saturday race. Right now it's the off season. So, you know, it's pretty much just ride, you know, during the week when you want to try to get, you know, stuff in here and there. Saturday they're, I've been getting in almost 100 miles Saturday morning with a bunch of guys in the area. We do it in probably under 5 hours. Just, you know, for fast ride around the summit. And then Sunday is a NCVC team ride, probably like 60 miles or so. But to do those back-to-back, it's pretty hard, but it's, you know, definitely good training.
Is it difficult now that the weather's turning? Is there a motivation factor? You know, it's cold, it's windy, leave, you know, the trees are bare. Does it make it harder at this time of year, knowing that it's kind of the off season? Or even during the season, are there days when it's like it's raining, it's dark? Can it be tough to motivate yourself to go out there in the elements and train, especially if you're going to be riding on your own?
Oh, yeah. I remember I was working last February or so, and I'd get off work at like 5 and it'd be dark, you know, dark, windy, and like 40, 35 degrees. And, you know, there were some days where I tried to ride and I lasted maybe like 10 minutes. It's pretty miserable starting your ride in the dark. You know, we have a bunch of, We try to do team rides. You know, they're little small ones. You know, 10 or people will show up. But, you know, just to be out there with other people, it makes it a little bit easier and definitely safer. You know, you don't really want to be out on the roads alone. But, yeah, it's pretty miserable starting your ride in the dark, you know, 30 degrees.
I have a final question for you. And you race bikes. Okay, but do you ever just ride your bike like just to go to Starbucks, or is it like because you're racing? Do you ever go, no way, I'm getting in the car? Do you know what I mean? Or is it?
Yeah, I know exactly. I don't really my bike. I wouldn't want to lock it up outside. You know, once in a while, I'll do an easy ride. So you know, maybe a Friday before a race, we'll go out. You know, ride 2 miles to get coffee and then ride back. Just, you know, spin your legs out a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't think I would ever ride my bike to, like, the grocery store. I work maybe half a mile from my house, and I drive there.
Okay. So that's interesting. It's interesting, you know, to know that because it's something you're so good at and it's something that, you know, psychologically is something you put effort into, it is that rather than when someone like me gets on a bike. You know, you're riding around like you're a little kid, but for you, it really is. Yeah, you're one of our top amateurs. Well, Alexis, I really appreciate you coming on the AV15. What I'm going to do when the blog post goes up, there'll be a couple of links. There'll be to some things. Alexis will post some links to some different events and stuff that she can promote. But I want everyone out there to know you've just spoken. I'm going to say this. You've just spoken to one of our rising cycling stars here in the States. Alexis, thanks for being on the AV15.
Thank you very much.
This has been the AV15, a production of the Atlantic Voice podcast. If you'd like to be on the AV15, please send us an email at atlanticvoice@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice, and all our episodes, whether it be the AV15 or the podcast itself, can be found on iTunes. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.